Thank you for listening to this Podcast One Sportsnet production, available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
The start of May kicks off with some incredible excitement in sports. The NBA playoffs, Kentucky Derby, NHL playoffs, Canelo versus Jacobs, Major League Baseball, and more. Get in on the action at betonline.ag and use the promo code PODCAST1 for your 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
He started in a small town in Texas. Worked his ass off to become one of the most famous wrestlers of all time.
We're going to take care of business tonight, and that's the bottom line.
And now, he's dominating the world of on-demand audio.
And he's doing it for the working man.
This is a damn good outlet for me to spew the bullshit off my brain.
Yeah!
This is Steve Austin, Unleashed.
All right, everybody, welcome to Steve Austin Show. I am currently out on vacation, recharging batteries, but just because I'm recharging the batteries, we still got business to take care of. In the meantime, we'll be playing some of the most requested Steve Austin Show classics that have been locked away in the archives. I got a great one for you this week, and here's my producer, Sean, to tell you all about it.
What's good, everybody? It's producer Sean bringing you a classic episode of the Steve Austin Show. Today being a very special episode. It is episode number 48, the first ever Steve Austin Show Unleashed. That's right. Original air date, September 19th, 2013. The way that it would go before was Steve did release episodes. I did have cursing in it, but these Unleashed episodes became episodes that were strictly uncensored, unfiltered, and they released on Thursdays, and the regular show released on Tuesdays, the family-friendly show, as Steve calls it. So this is a monumental episode of the Steve Austin Show, the very first ever episode of Steve Austin Unleashed. And we have an appearance by show favorite, Ted Fowler 361. We'll have to find the first ever Ted Fowler appearance and throw that in here in the classic queue. But also some topics include paying for sex, dedication to training. Going back to the sex thing, you hear a lot about in this episode Steve's thoughts on sex in general and how much he would pay and, you know, Cialis. So they start off the Unleashed episodes with a bang. We also get a mini Q&A. You guys get to hear some questions that you guys send in at questions@steveaustinshow.com. Also something interesting here, and I wonder if maybe Steve will reconsider this at some point. He talks about doing an additional third show where he proposes that he will be reviewing pay-per-views, the monthly WWE pay-per-views, and breaking down the current product. So maybe we'll see that again when Steve returns. And also you'll hear from one of Steve's previous producers, Art Donovan, Art Vandalay, talking with Steve, helping him out with some of the content. So get ready for some Unleashed action. This day in Steve Austin history, today being May 2nd, we start off in 1992 for WCW in Saginaw, Michigan. Nikita Koloff, substituting for the WCW World Champion Sting, defeated Steve Austin. And then Steve had a busy day on May 2nd. Check this out. In 1994 in Atlanta, Georgia, at a taping at Center Stage, this is, I believe, is for episodes of Saturday Night, WCW Saturday Night. WCW US Champion Steve Austin defeated Brian Armstrong, a.k.a. Road Dogg. I am certain at some point that match will show up in the Hidden Gem section on the WWE Network. Also, WCW US Champion Steve Austin with Colonel Robert Parker defeated Scott Studd, a.k.a. Scotty Riggs, a.k.a. Scotty Anton. And this was also notable because this was the debut of Meng, formerly known as Haku, as Colonel Robert Parker's bodyguard. So they introduce him after this match. And then finally, we have WCW US Champion Steve Austin, along with Colonel Robert Parker and Meng, defeating Marcus Alexander Bagwell. So Steve Austin defeated both American males on this day in 1994. 1997 in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada for the WWF. It's the peculiar tag team of Ahmed Johnson and Steve Austin defeating the WWF Tag Team Champions Owen Hart, who was IC champion at the time, and Davey Boy Smith, who was European champion at the time, in a non-title match. And Owen and Davey killing it in the singles and the belts department in 1997 around this time. 1998 in Landover, Maryland, WWF World Champion Steve Austin defeated WWF European Champion Triple H. And then in 1999 in San Diego, California, for a Monday Night Raw taping, WWF World Champion Steve Austin fought The Rock to a no contest in a lumberjack match when both competitors attacked the corporate ministry at ringside. Afterwards, there was a brawl, and that's Steve Austin and The Rock both being thrown off the stage by Triple H and The Undertaker. I don't remember that as far as the Attitude Era goes, but sounds pretty wild, so I'll have to go and maybe back and check that out. And then finally, in 2002, in Glasgow, Scotland, Steve Austin defeated The Big Show. I got all my information from the history of WWE.com. All right, hang tight, folks. In a classic episode of the Steve Austin Show, it's the very first ever Steve Austin Show Unleashed. Get ready.
As April comes to an exciting close, the beginning of May starts off with even more excitement in sports. Simply put, there is a ton of action that you should be taking advantage of. Over in the NBA, it's all about the playoffs. Is Houston destined to make it to the championship? What about the Raptors? Is this their year? Can the Celtics keep it going? And don't forget about the Blazers and the Bucks. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Don't forget to use the promo code PODCAST1 or text BETNOW to 238-669 to receive a 50% welcome bonus. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and exclusive partners of Podcast One Sportsnet. Spring is here, the sun is out, and your lawn has to be ready to take on any SOB on the block. And for a shoot, your lawn can take a real beating. Heat, drought, bugs, weak, thin grass, and so many damn weeds, you'd think it was a Royal Rumble. Well, our sponsors, Scott's Turf Builder, has the components you need for a thick green lawn. All it takes is four simple feedings throughout the year to help crowd out pesky weeds by creating a greener, stronger lawn. Just once in early spring, then late spring, summer, and fall for a greener, stronger lawn all year long. Scott's will give your yard the nourishment it needs to help your weak, thin lawn rise up to the main event level. And Scott's stands by their no-quibble money-back guarantee. If you ain't satisfied, you get your money back. Start your Scott's Turf Builder program today because this is a Scott's Yard.
This is Steve Austin, Unleashed. Unleashed.
Teddy, you there? What's happening?
Yeah, no, just hanging out, waiting for the storm to pass.
Hey, man, how's the job going on over there?
Oh, it's going good. It's going good. I mean, short of all the mud, but everything's, you know, progressing nicely.
Now, what is this job you're doing? Now, we have some neighbors over there. Understand, folks, new listeners to the show, I've got 2,100 acres down here in South Texas, the Broken Skull Ranch. Ted's doing some work on the neighboring ranch, and they had a little outfit over there, and so you're kind of just expanding that and putting on another room or two?
Yeah, put on two rooms, a bathroom, and a kitchen. You know, so they had two bedrooms already and, you know, cooking in the same place and going to the bathroom out in the brush, so we tried to make it a little more civilized.
How many inches of rain we got down there since you've been down there trying to work?
Man, probably four or five.
How's the ranch looking? Is it green?
Yeah, it's real green. Real green and real wet.
You seen any deer?
No. No, nothing's come floating by.
They're still growing their horns. That'll be about three-quarters through growing their horns by now?
Yeah. They should still be in velvet, but, yeah, they should, you know, show some good size by now.
It's dove season down in South Texas here in a couple of days. Have you been seeing any doves flying?
Yeah. Yeah, dove season opens up Saturday, so, you know, if we can find a dry place to stand, you know, we should do all right. You know, the evening flight is a lot better than the morning flight.
Well, I got to ask you a question. We got one of our tanks that we like to hunt over. It's called a shark tank. We had about a 5-foot alligator over there, and I know you were worried about Cassie, your chocolate lab, getting out there and getting them birds. Are we going to have any issues with that?
No, I don't know what happened. The alligator is no longer there.
Yeah,
I mowed it the other day and didn't see it, so.
It probably moved off. So Cassie will be in effect, and she'll be retrieving doves for us?
Yeah.
Well, she'll be retrieving doves for you because usually about that first week of dove season, I'll shoot about four boxes of shells a day and won't hit a goddamn thing. I might hit two birds out of four boxes. I love shooting at the sumbitches. I just can't get them to fall.
And it's bad because, I mean, I'm not too proud. I'll sneak up on a motherfucking dove. If it's sitting in a tree, I'll belly crawl through the brush to get a shot at that sumbitch. I don't care. My shooting on the wing percentage is for shit.
Nothing against shooting them off of the high line.
Hey, you know, we got deer season coming up, and you and I were talking about building you another deer gun. You'd been shooting my 308 for the last couple of years, and you've been enjoying that. So you had decided to build your own. So we started doing some research and trying to build this gun, and we talked to a lot of damn people. And you ended up picking the people down there, outfit out of West Virginia called Blackheart International, right?
That's correct.
So what's the story? What's the caliber? What's the barrel length? What's the story with this gun?
It's a 308, you know, custom job, 24-inch barrel. Just a regular barrel. The guy, you know, turned me off of the bull barrel once he smartened me up on, you know, the practicality of, you know, a bull barrel. And it's not very practical, you know, for hunting. But, you know, they're making it.
So they told me they was going to hotfoot this thing and you'd have it by this deer season. So that'll be cool.
Yeah, I think the only thing that's going to slow them down, they got a special order of stock because, you know, my arms are so long that, you know, other than that, it should be. Well, I hope it's here for deer season. I'll be shooting yours.
I'll arm wrestle you for it. Goddamn, Ted Fowler's got arms longer than Sasquatches. I might have to get on a booster table to arm wrestle your ass. Hey, I was thinking about when we come down there, all of our game cameras are broken, battered, or a piece of shit. We need to replace those things. Are we going to be able to get around and put up some game cameras?
Tentatively. Yeah, I mean, if it quits raining in the next day or two, but, you know, by this weekend, we should be able to get off of the roads. I mean, I wouldn't walk off of the main roads right now. It's so muddy.
That sounds pretty bad.
Yeah.
And I just saw the breakup stuff that was coming through South Texas, and I thought some of it was going to touch the ranch, but I think it's going to be any big issue. But shit, the way you talk, every time I talk to you, it's raining.
No, you know what? It's not crazy, but it's just a steady rain. You know, I mean, an inch every day. You know, it can't dry up, it can't drain off, it can't go anywhere. I guess San Antonio is absolutely getting hammered.
Well, you know, this thing, man, there's all that flash flooding. I mean, we need the rain, we need the water, but some people are getting it down there, especially poor folks in Colorado getting their ass beat by that stuff. We certainly need some in South Texas, but we've been fortunate this year. Over the past 4 years, 5 years, however long it's been, we've been in a drought. All of our tanks dried up. And we were able to take a big 4,000-foot-long piece of 4-inch poly pipe and drag it around from a couple of those tanks from that water well that we had drilled out there and fill some of them up. And now that it's been raining so much, everything is topped off real good. But there's a lot of people that are in bad way that need that water. So I'm glad. A couple of years ago, we were getting all of our neighbors were getting rained like a sumbitch, and none of it would hit the ranch. And we was drying a tumbleweed. So,
well, we got plenty of rain now, and I mean it's beautiful, everything is green. I'm glad I got, you know, I mowed around the perimeter, got that done before, you know, this big rain came. Otherwise, you know, I'd really be set back on that. But boy, everything is green and growing. Should be a good year.
Well, what happened the other day? I heard the lightning strike or something happened, and the power was down, so you didn't have no electricity for a while.
No, for 9 hours. Yeah, I guess lightning struck the transformer station, whatever, in Tilden. You know, and of course the parts, I don't know where they had to go to get them, but it wasn't close. Yeah, so, you know,
hey.
no power means no TV, no water, no air conditioning, you know, and it's raining, so little quiet reflection time.
Hey, man, I was down in Mexico filming Redneck Island last time the power went out, and you went down there, and I guess the power had been out for a couple of weeks, and you'd open the freezers, and there was maggots like a motherfucker everywhere, correct?
That is correct.
So how long of a leeway time do we have there? If power's down for 9 hours, we don't like to keep the freezers too stock full anymore when we're not there. But is that meat still frozen after the 9-hour mark? Are we still good with what I have in my freezer? Because I'm coming down.
Yeah, no, all that's good. I mean, you know, keeping the doors closed keeps all of that stuff, you know, as cold as can be. If the power was off for more than a day, then I'd say it was hassles. And, you know, that barrel came off of that transformer, and, you know, Lordy, there's no telling how long the power had been out. You know, I mean, it was 4 or 5 days easy.
Mm. So the guys down there from Three Rivers are supposed to come up and pick up your Kawasaki mule and take it into the shop and get it fixed. Did they drop off my Broncos and take your mule back?
No, man. The only one working today is me. A little bit of rain, everybody stops. I haven't seen anybody.
Is there nobody's on the property right now?
No, sir.
You got your dogs, right?
Yeah.
Goddamn. Hey, you got any hookers out there?
Here in Tilden or at the ranch?
At the ranch.
No, it's too muddy. They won't come out either.
Hookers in South Texas driving four-wheel drive vehicles.
Yeah. Most of those hookers got two-wheel drive, so it's nothing. You know, they're all in the city.
Hey, you're single right now, right?
Yes, sir.
How's that working for you?
Well, you know where I live, Rockport. There's not a whole lot going on. Once again, it's like that rain out with no power. A lot of quiet reflection.
Quiet reflection. Man, I tell you what, I got up this morning, and I was going to cruise over to Walgreens and pick up a couple of prescriptions and take Hershey for a ride and get me a Red Bull to drink on the way to work. And I picked up my prescriptions, and I tell you what, 20 Cialis will cost you $353. Did you know that?
No.
30 Ambien will cost you $306 for a month's supply. That's $659 a month for me to sleep and fuck.
That's a lot of 308 shells.
Damn. That's $659 I've got to come up with every single month to stay happy because I can't stop sleeping. I got to have some sleep, and I can't sleep worth the shit. And goddamn, a man got to fuck. If you ain't fucking, you ain't happy. I can't stop fucking. I like to be happy. There's $659 on top of the monthly nut that I already got in form of a mortgage, a lease car, and everything else. This show is for the working man, Ted Fowler. And you can follow Ted Fowler at TedFowler361. God damn it, Teddy. $659 for a man's happiness. What do you think about that?
You're happy that you're getting laid, but you're pissed because you got to buy the Cialis.
Don't get me wrong. I can fuck without it. I'd just rather fuck with it. I'm going to take any kind of damn PED I can to make my life happy. Art, are you still there on the line?
Right here, Steve.
All right. Art, at $353 for 20 pills, let's divide that by 30. 353 divided by 30. What is that?
$353. I'm going to get out my rocket scientist calculator here. 350 divided by 30 is going to give you a grand total of $1,167 a day.
$1,167 a day. Okay. Now, we talked about hookers earlier, and the reason I was asking is Ted's single. I'm not. I'm married, happily married. Don't need the hookers. But let's say, for instance, this is for the working man that I was single. And I needed a hooker. Art, what's the going rate of a hooker?
All right, according to Havascope.com, which supplies info on the global black market, the average price for oral sex in the United States right now runs about $20 to $50.
$20 to $50 for a blowjob.
The average price for sexual intercourse will run the consumer anywhere between $50 and $100.
The consumer. So I can get a blowjob for 20 to 50 and sex for 50 to 100. That covers kind of all my stuff. I don't venture too far out in anything else. Man, these prices, I never paid for a piece of ass myself, Art.
No, I have not. I think that
just straight up with me. We've been talking on email since you've been putting all these clips together for the show, but we never, you know, just sat down and broke bread and had some conversations and then, you know, just really got to know each other.
You can
be straight up with me. Have you paid for a piece of ass?
Straight up, I have never paid for a piece of ass. I like to think that I'm pretty good at getting it without having to pay for it.
Hey, there's a man with confidence, just like he said at the beginning of the show. But if you were to pay, what would be your maximum limit?
If I had for intercourse or oral sex?
All right, let's go both. You just want a blowjob.
All right, my maximum for a blowjob, I'd say $20.
God, you cheap motherfucker.
Yeah, I'm a cheap bastard, dude.
Fowler, you've been around the horn. Is $20 going to get him a good blowjob?
Nope.
He's spoken by the man. Hey, you want to think about that for a second?
Talk about confident. He sure okay. Seems to know.
All right, so, you know, what's going to get us? Let's go out of this range, Art. I'm not comfortable in this range. That's pretty much bargain basement stuff. Put me up in the Premier League.
Oh, Premier League blowjob is going to cost you about $250.
250 clams. Okay, now, to get laid, what's that going to run me?
That could run starting anywhere from about $750 to $1,000.
$750 to $1,000. Work the blowjob in there. Hey, you probably work a two-for-one. You might come out of that thing for a grand, $1,250, toss in a tip or something like that. Am I correct?
Absolutely. You got to tip your girls, dude.
Fallow, how you feel about that? Now, I know you're the working man down there, and I'm just thinking, you know, highline stuff here, but what's the going rate down there in the neck of the woods that you've been hanging out in? I'm not saying that you frequent these places all the time. I'm just saying word on the street down there in that neck of the woods.
I was going to say, I'm going to have to plead the fifth.
Hey, no one listens to this show anyway, so you're not telling nobody nothing.
Man, I was going to say, if you can get a two-for-one for a grand, you got better negotiating skills than I do.
Really?
Yeah.
God damn it. $1,000 down there in them neck of the woods?
No, I ain't talking down here in South Texas, no.
Oh, okay. Jesus Christ. What the fuck, dude?
No, dude, we're traveling. We were, you know.
I know where you're at. Yeah. Dude, you're up in Houston. What are you talking about? That's all you had to say. God dang it.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah.
This goes for Fowler, too. We were just doing some research back here. What country do you think the highest-priced hookers in the world are from?
Man, that's a good question, Art.
We know the answer, but I want to know what you think.
No, I'm glad you brought that up. Fowler, go ahead and give me a guess.
Man,
I'm going to say
somewhere where they got, you know, blonde hair, like Switzerland or Scandinavia or, you know, one of those places.
Man,
chicks, that they're smoking hot, that's for sure.
All right, well, I'm going to go Russia.
You both would be incorrect.
God damn it, Art.
Russians are starving to death, man. They're doing it for potatoes.
What shit, dude, what I know. I'm in Los Angeles doing this show for the working man, trying to go down to the Broken Skull Ranch to put up some game cameras. I'm married, happily married. I ain't out paying for pussy. Why am I supposed to be an authority on the subject? Art, where does the most expensive pussy reside?
If you were to think back over history and give yourself some time to consider where the oldest prostitution might be from, you would immediately arrive at Paris, France.
Paris.
And the Moulin Rouge and the things that they, all that shit from back in the, I don't know what, the 1200s? I don't know.
Let me bust out a little French for you. Oui, oui. Bilingual like a motherfucker here on the Steve Austin Show. I got it. You'd probably be able to find some pretty good trim down here in Mexico at a good dime, right? Art, you got any kind of more scientific facts for us?
I can tell you what the average hooker in Paris makes.
Oh, please do.
For these high-end prices. It will cost you about, I don't know if that breaks down in the euros, but it's about $4,000.
4,000 clams.
4,000 smackaroos, dude.
Shit, man, I think, I don't know. At $4,000, as cheap as I am, I'll spend some money on like a Blackheart International gun or a good scope from Meopta, but I might have to just resort to jerking off on that deal. I mean, I got to draw a line somewhere, Fowler. If I can do that, drop my sleeping pill, drink a beer or two every now and then, I think I can make it.
Dude, $4,000 and buy you another gun.
You keep the gun in the closet. The hooker, you can't.
I had to sell the Fort Knox safe to get the piece of ass.
Make sure to stick around after this podcast to get the latest headlines from the AP News Minute. Winter is coming.
I'm not sure if, as you are prepared to meet almost certain doom, if maybe being a little tipsy isn't the way to go into it.
So it's time to join Survivor's Rob Sister Nino on post-show recaps as he brings you highlights of the biggest television event of the year.
Other than the dragons, whose job is it to take out the Night King?
Download new episodes of post-show recaps every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One. Dragons not included.
This is Steve Austin Unleashed.
I get questions all the time. When you guys send your questions, suggestions, comments to questions@steveaustinshow.com, I read every single one of them. I can't respond back to every single one of them because I get a shit pile of them, but I read them. And one of the questions that I get asked all the time is, what keeps me motivated? And I'm assuming this is it's all gym related. And, you know, because sometimes, you know, I get in the gym and I get, you know, man, I get on a real good tear. And I get my consistency down, I got my workouts down, and I'm hitting it hardcore, and I'm doing good. And when I'm working out good, I feel good, just in my head and physically, in general. When I'm busting my ass, I feel better. But sometimes I get into a little bit of a lull, and things kind of go off the fucking deep end, and I kind of derail myself. So, man, I guess what keeps me motivated personally is just trying to look my best and feel my best. Now, I'm not a bodybuilder. I don't have bodybuilding genetics. I'm not a power lifter. I'm just trying to keep my ass in shape. And with all the beatings that I went through over the years, you know, you just got to take care of yourself. So looking good and feeling good is what keeps me motivated. But there's many times where I'll hit a lull. Like as of late, I kind of got dragged down. I became complacent with the way I was training. I was just kind of in there, and I woke up kind of in a haze a couple of days ago, and I was right in the middle of my workout, and I don't remember what I was training. It was chest back or something. I was like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? I was lollygagging around. I must have doing some dumbbell inclines or something like that. And I'm like, man, what are you doing? I wasn't concentrating. I wasn't feeling the weights. I wasn't feeling the reps. My head wasn't in it. I was zoned out. And I guess bottom line is what I'm saying. I've been training like a pussy for the last few months, a total vagina. And it's just because I got out of the mode. I was going. And certainly going to the gym is better than not going to the gym, but I kind of lost my way. And so the other day I woke my ass up and I said, hey, you know, I looked myself in the mirror and I looked and I said to myself, dude, look at your fat fucking ass. What has become of you? Been eating potato chips and drinking beer and eating all this bullshit. And all of a sudden I'm one of those cats where I was at about 250 a couple of weeks ago. And all of a sudden, I got on a scale the other day, and my sorry ass weighed 260 pounds because I let myself go. And I do this all the time because, I mean, I like beer. I just need to learn to pick my spots because with me, one beer turns into three, turns into seven, then you get the munchies, you grab a spoon and tear it into a jar of peanut butter, some chocolate brownie frosting my wife had in the refrigerator, some strawberry jelly. Hell, I just stockpiled about 3,000 late-night gimmick calories that are going straight to my ass and my waist. Now, I know that I can't beat my genetics, and I'm not trying to. I hold fat around my waist. And you can't out-train a shitty diet. When you're training like me, and I said I was training like a puss, ain't no way I'm going to out-train all that shitty nutrition. So I had a little come-to-Jesus meeting with myself, and I've been in the gym hardcore for about 3 days, Fowler. I've been on a roll, and you're down there at the ranch. You're working out. How have you been as far as your motivation and your training? Because when we were in deer season this last year, we've been hunting down there together at the ranch for 7 years, and this was the first year that we started working out together. We got a badass power rack from Elite FTS. We got a Olympic barbell set. We got dumbbells to 100. We got a lat pull machine. We got the basics, and that's all we need. And we trained every single day, and we drank once a week Saturday, and that's what I'm going to go back to, my six-pack Saturday night, as I call it. I got to stay off the booze for 6 days and just have 1 day of beer so I don't run off the rails. How you doing? You're training down there, Fowler.
You know what? Now that I got down here, I'm doing good. But back there in Rockport, you know, I was so busy and working so late. By the time I'd get home, you know, it's like, man, I don't feel like cooking. You know, even though we're doing the same diet and it's the same stuff, man, it's just, I'll just order a pizza, you know what, and then went and bought a bottle of Jack, you know, and that's hassles right there, because I'm not, you know, you drink the beer, I drink the Jack, you know, and one turns into two or three, go to bed, get up the next day, work all day, get home late, and it's like, man, do you want to cook, do you want to go to the gym? Nah, hell, let's order Chinese, you know, that's easy, eat Chinese, drink a Jack, Coke, go to bed. You know, so I came down here, didn't bring any booze. Well, that's wrong. I brought some Dos Equis. Truth be told. But I didn't bring any Jack. It's like I'm drying out, you know, me and Lindsay Lohan down here. No, but once I get down here and get on my diet schedule, working out, then, you know, I get back into it and it, you know, fall into that rhythm, you know, and once you get going, it's easy. But once you get off of the rails, man, it's easy to stay off too.
I tell you what, once you, if I'm doing pretty good. Like right now, I've got an 8-ounce glass of wine built into my diet, which I just started, 8 ounces. And I know you're doing about the same thing I am. That equates out to about 2 beers for you, actually about a beer and a half, close, 3/4. Anyway, when you're talking about that Jack, and I know you're a Jack guy, and I got off that vodka and whiskey I was drinking. I thought you stopped drinking the Jack.
I tried.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I tried. But to that point, now back in the day when you and I used to go off the rails, 6-7 days out of the week. You're not doing that. You're just talking about you having a couple. But, you know, the couple is what it is. You get a buzz. The point is you're stopping just at that minor buzz limit. But if you're trying to be at a caloric deficit and all of a sudden you've jacked in 800 calories of some sugar and some whiskey, you know, you ain't going to be at a caloric deficit. So you can't do that. You can't out-train that, and you know, unless you were to go through overdrive, but it's just not a good dynamic.
No, and it's not. It's not like it used to be. I mean, not, you know, 4 or 5 every night. You know, I may sit down and you know, just 3 weeks ago, you know, I was having one every night. You know, that was a given. You know, and every once in a while it'd ease into 2, and then I'd stop because, you know, I don't want to wake up hungover.
Right.
You know I need to go to the gym. I don't want to start putting on weight. You know, but man, it's easy to get out of sync. You know, and like I said, I'm getting back to where I need to be now that I'm here at the ranch. You know, no booze, no hard liquor. You know, work all day and then get home and, you know, relax for a minute and then go to the gym, get my workout in, get my meal in, and have my 2 beers. And then call it a night.
When I was talking to you last night on the phone, you said, I think you said words to the thing. He goes, man, a guy don't have to work up too much of a thirst to saw through 2 beers. They disappear pretty quick, don't they?
Yeah, I guess I should buy 40 ounces instead of the 12-ounce bottles.
Oh, Jesus. But, you know, and, you know, the you just can't have all that damn alcohol. And going back to me, you know, I would be in my garage and I'd be on my cardio thing. And I've got one of those step mills with the rotating steps. And it's pretty good ass-kicking workout if you turn that sumbitch up. And, you know, it was the same thing I had, you know, in the weight room. You know, I was there doing cardio and I was kind of like just going through the motions. And I said, man, what are you doing? I said, you need to turn this thing up, man. So I crank that thing up to a level 6, and I got a deep burn in my damn chest and started sweating bullets and impurities and horse shit out, and I finally had a damn good, you know, cardio workout. And I'm not going crazy. I'm just doing 30 to 40 minutes just to put a little topper on my caloric deficit. I'm not trying to burn any muscle off, but the way my body works, I need a little bit of cardio to burn off some of that fat. But my point is, you know, I had fallen into that complacent state of just going through the motions. And this is a whole long-winded diatribe that we're going through. But when you go to the gym and attack those weights, if you're committing an hour of your time to going to the gym, make the most of it. Don't just go through the motions because you're not doing yourself any good. Yeah, it's better than nothing, but it's like when I was on my damn treadmill, I said, man, wake the fuck up, you son of a bitch. I mean, that's the way I got to talk to myself, you piece of shit. And so I'd crank that treadmill up. And because if you're going to the gym, here's one thing that chaps my ass, is when, like, you see the people on the treadmills and they're talking on the phone or they're sending out text messages or they're reading books while they work out, or, you know, you shouldn't be able to read a book or look at your cell phone why you're doing cardio, working out. If you cannot dedicate at least 60 minutes of time to have a cell-free type of environment so that you can improve yourself, then there's something wrong. And I know you got that person over there that's on the treadmill, and they got that summit's cranked up all the way, so you think it'd be doing some good, but they're hanging on to the rails. Well, shit, you're defeating the purpose of the incline by holding on to the rails. Lower that sumbitch and just let go of the damn things and actually do the work. And, you know, if you're just going to the gym to go through your paces and, you know, to be social or to do a little bit, that's your business and I'm cool with it. But most of you are just like me and have slid down into the gutter and you're training. So you got to fucking wake the fuck up. Fowler, are you busting ass in your training now? Or you just, you got a goal in mind? What I'm doing right now, I got on the scale. I weigh 260 pounds. 260 pounds for me is about 20 too much because all my shit is around my waist. So I'm going down to 240. And the way I've got it calculated out, it's probably going to take me 12 to 16 weeks. So once I get to 240, then I'll decide where to go from there. Maybe I'll stop. Maybe I'll try to go down to 235. When I met Sly Stallone for my part in the Expendables back in the day, I weighed 237 pounds in that meeting. And I liked the way I looked. I liked the way I felt. I didn't, you know, wasn't as massive, no, but I felt better. So that's my goal. And I'm going to stay with you every single week while I'm doing this show, I'm going to check in and I'm going to give you my body weight. And on the next show, I'll talk about the workout that I'm putting myself through, and I'll talk about the caloric numbers that I'm taking in and how I configured that. So, Fowler, let me go back to you. What's your goal as we speak as far as your training?
Man, I want to drop more weight. You know, I'm down 10 pounds from when we started last deer season. I was 252 when we started working out last deer season. You know, and I got down to about 233. You know, and now I'm at 240, so I kind of, you know, gained some of it back. No, but I need to just, you know, dry out, get myself back in the gym and go at it hard. You know, I'm laughing because you're talking about, you know, the people that get on the treadmill and they're talking on the phone and all that. Before we started working out last year, see, remember, I'm the guy that had the exercise bike down there in Rockport, and I'd sit on that thing with a Jack and Coke watching TV riding for 30 minutes thinking, boy, I'm really accomplishing something. Yeah, but, you know, it's easy to get motivated when, you know, when you look in the mirror and you start putting on a few pounds.
Well, I tell you what, it's downright depressing for me. And the thing about my genetics is I can get in real good shape, and I think, man, shit, I can have a couple of beers now. And then, you know, well, I got away with that day, and I'll just keep going. And then, like, 2 months will go by, and then that third month will go by, and I've been looking good for, like, 2.5 months, and all of a sudden, wham, it's like a sucker punch. I've just added on 15 pounds and seemingly overnight. Dude, it's depressing because you start to look good, you're in a good headspace, all of a sudden you wake up and you smell that fucking coffee and you see that waistline, you're like, man, really? I'm going to do this to myself again? Really? I got to go back through the cycle? And there's people listen to me go, I know, I'm there, I've done it many times. So I'm telling you right now, dude, when I get down to 240, we're doing a six-pack Saturday night because I ain't going to stop drinking. I ain't going to lie to you. I like drinking beer. I like having a vodka, this, that, or whatever, but I got to keep it down to the Friday and Saturday or Saturday and Sunday, however we're going to call it down there at the ranch this year. We're going to bust ass and keep our asses in shape. So to all you people down there that are listening, asking about motivation, man, I get the highs and I get the lows just like anybody else. At the end of the day, I'm motivated by what I see in the mirror. I'm motivated because I want to take care of myself. Back in the old days when I was bulletproof, I didn't give a flying shit about anything because I could get away with a lot more back in the day. But now, man, I'm 48 trying to make myself last as long as I can. So, I'll see you on Thursday, Fowler, and we're going to have a bust-ass workout and keep this sumbitch on the rails. No more of that lollygagging and pussyfooting around and drinking every night. That shit don't work.
No, I'm down with that.
So, hell, Telly, let's wrap it up. Let's break it down. Basically, if you're going to set goals, you got to have realistic expectations. Now, because I'm talking about going from 260 to 240 pounds. Now, I'm the kind of guy, since I started this diet, I'll weigh myself 6 times a day. If I let myself, and I ain't going to wake up tomorrow and be a lean, mean 240. It ain't going to happen. So I'm going to have to go through the process. It's going to take me 12 or 16 weeks, but I can get there. So I've got a realistic expectation. I have set my goal. It's 240 pounds. I've got to be consistent. I can't be all over the place with my diet. I've got to maintain that thing. Don't go off the rails. Consistency is key. And basically, hey, man, I see a bunch of cats in the gym all the time, and there's no sense in trying to compete with anybody else. You're competing with yourself. You're the cat that's got to make that cat in the mirror happy. So don't worry about what others do. Different strokes for different folks, different workouts for different cats, different diets for different folks. You got to find out what works for you. I'm going to talk more about working out, more about the diet I'm implementing on the next show. But let's wrap that up. Let's call it a day on the training. I'm motivated because I need to be in a good headspace. I need to feel good and look good, and I got to compete with myself. Teddy, you good with that?
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's the same here. You know, I mean, I'm competing with myself. You know,
hey, let me ask you something. Let me ask you something, Teddy. Yeah. Now you and I have known each other for 7-8 years now. So I get these highs and lows. When I'm looking good, I feel pretty good in the head. Do you have those doldrums too?
Absolutely. When the diet's right and I'm working out hard at the gym, you know, I feel good. I think I look good. And, you know, psychologically, yeah, I mean, everything, you know, everything is good to go. You know, happy to get up in the morning. Just can't wait to get to the gym and bust ass and, you know, work up a sweat and, you know, just keep going, you know, and then once you slip a little bit, it's like, ugh, shit, here we go.
It's easy to go off the rails.
Oh, yeah.
And but I tell you, man, there ain't nothing like the feeling after a hell of a cardio session or a hell of a weight session, especially in my regards. I mean, you know, I'm still of the mindset when I'm in there, I'm trying to build mass. I'm not trying to destroy mass. I'm trying to maintain. So that's still my mindset, although I'm trying to strip fat. Art, you're over in the other room. What are you doing to work out, stay fit?
Steve, I don't do shit.
You lucky motherfucker.
Yeah, I don't do anything, man. I used to run. I run like a gazelle. And when I was in my younger years and less busy, I ran all the time. I mean, here's the thing, dude. I'm 28 years old. I've never weighed over 135 pounds in my entire life.
Dude, do you eat?
Yeah, I eat. I eat so much shit. I eat such high cholesterol fast food all the time. Just crap, man. And I think, like, right now, I'm at 134.
Fowler, what'd you say?
I said, I got a blanket at the house that's 28.
Dude, all right, you're a musician, right?
Yeah, I dabble around a little bit.
You drink?
I do not drink, actually.
And you eat anything under the sun?
Yeah.
You just want them lucky cats. Hmm.
Yeah, it's unexplainable, man. It's like I'm an anomaly.
Anomaly.
How many pull-ups can you do?
Actually, you know what, Fowler? I could probably knock out 15 pull-ups right now.
See, he's one of those kind of cats that you see on the playground, and all everybody's trying to impress everybody with how many pull-ups they can do, and I could do about 5. And then he jumps up there and rips off about 15 or 20. That, like the human ant, they're way stronger than they look. And those motherfuckers used to piss me off.
Duh.
Art, are you that guy, the human ant?
This is going to be a great working relationship, I can tell. I'm just going to frustrate the shit out of you on a weekly basis.
Well, I tell you what, you're going to have to come down to the Broken Skull Ranch and man up on a drinking session on the day that me and Fowler go off the rails.
With you and Fowler, see, I'd be happy to just get fucking blasted, especially because I don't drink. It'll be a fun time. You give me one drink and I'll be slurring all over the place.
Dude, you see, here's the thing. If you're going to drink, you can't be a sloppy drunk, Art.
Well, I'm not a sloppy drunk, but okay. I'm a very fun drunk. I'm an excellently fun drunk.
Okay, so now you're talking about drinking. So how often are you getting drunk every year?
Oh, dude, this year alone, I think I've been drunk twice.
Did you mark those events in your calendar?
I believe one was back in March and one was back in February.
Well, you know what? And that's a good thing because, you know, shit. But you know what? I looked back, Fowler, when you and I were going off the rails every single night at the Broken Skull, I was probably going through a fifth. And that's when I slowed down. I was going through a fifth of vodka every 2 days. That would be what? 3.5 fifths a week. But hell, now I've cut that into whatever, just 6 beers a week. Is compared to that. So I was doing pretty damn good.
And alcohol, it plays an important role, I think, in the whole weight gain, weight loss. You know, my girl, she'll drink beer. You know, she's a beer drinker. And if she drinks beer and she's drinking it on a consistent basis, she gets pissed because she develops a little bit of a gut within a week or two. And it plays a heavy role into whether
or not. So break this down for me, Art. So what do you do, say, hey, honey, you got a beer gut?
I'll tell her she's fat, absolutely. I'll say, hey, what the hell's going on here?
How long you been with this gal?
What are you doing? I've known her for more than 14 years. We've been together for about a year and a half.
And she ain't got no problem with you telling her she got a beer gut?
No.
Well, that's good.
She would have to be cool with that because she would tell me too. You know, we're very honest, open with one another.
I dig it.
Well, you tell a girl in Texas she's got a beer gut, she might hit you right in the mouth.
Look like a pot-bellied pig.
Hey, you know, we've been talking about health and fitness, motivation, working out, the Broken Skull Ranch, building deer rifles, it's dove season, all kinds of goofy shit, and the price of my Cialis and my Ambien, which is driving me to drink more alcohol than I'm drinking, $659 a month. And,
why do you even do that math? Why do you want to know that number? I wouldn't want to know.
Because I'm cheap.
I am too. That's why I mean, I wouldn't want to do it. I know I'm spending that much. I would say I don't even want to know.
I mean, I'd like to say I'm cheap. I'm frugal. I value a dollar. I know how much work it took to make that dollar. So I'm not one that just wants to let it go that easy. And you know, you got to dig that.
I guess it's cost benefit analysis.
Well, it's like I'm down with that. But it's like an old wrestling promoter used to tell us when nobody was making no money. They say they look at you after you got your paycheck, and the paycheck wasn't worth a shit. And they say, oh hell, kid, don't worry. It ain't what you make, it's what you save. Well, you know, the old deal, if you ain't making shit, you can't save shit.
So it's from that mentality, and also the mentality of, Ted, you know my dad. My dad is so meticulous with balancing his checkbook. He's old school. He still balances his checkbook once a month. And, mister, if there's a penny off that sumbitch, he is irate. And my dad can squeeze a penny until that motherfucker squalls. That sumbitch knows how to save money. So I guess I kind of inherited it from my job in the wrestling business and from my dad. But, well, hell, Ted, with that being said, I'm going to let you get on back to business down at the ranch. I will see you in 2 days. Are you going to be able to return to work, or are you just going to be able to chill for the rest of the day? What are you going
to
do?
Oh, I'll probably try to work a little bit later on this afternoon. The sun's actually coming out. If the wind would pick up and dry things out, that'd sure help. But I'll probably work a little bit this afternoon.
Well, all right, Ted, I'll let you get back to it. At Ted Fowler 361, I'm Steve Austin, BSR. Art, what's your handle over there?
It's at Arthur H. Webb, 2 Bs, W-E-B-B.
You heard the man push the follow button. Fowler, I'll catch you down the road. Let's move on and answer some questions you sent in to questions@steveaustinshow.com. This one came to me from Alex over in Nashville, Tennessee. He said, Steve, really enjoy the show. I listen to it every week. I started listening while I lived in Japan, but now back home in Tennessee, and I got a few questions. One, how can I get updates on future guests so I could send an email or question to possibly be asked on the show? Well, see, that's the thing about it, Alex. The way my brain works, I don't know what's going to happen next. I really don't. So it's hard for me to just say in advance who's going to be on the show. If I get a little heads up, I'll post it on the SteveAustinShow.com website, which we are now working on, and that might be a little bit of heads up for you. Question two from Alex was, he makes the comment, really love the Bret Hart episode. You mentioned having a second one where you break down your matches together. I would love to hear that, and I think many others would too. And I want to have Bret back on the show. He's going to come back on. We're going to continue talking. We'll talk about WrestleMania 13 in Chicago. And Alex goes on to say he also supports the idea of me hosting a show where a few wrestlers come on and you discuss, break down the current product and past events. I'm thinking about adding a third show to my rotation. It will be Steve Austin breaking down Monday Night Raw. If you were down with this, just say hell yeah in regards to the third show to questions@steveaustinshow.com. Right now, two shows has got me pretty damn busy with everything I got going on. But if there is a lot of support for this third show where I break down Monday Night Raw, I will do it. Send your response to questions@steveaustinshow.com. Here's one that says, hey, Steve, I'm loving the podcast. Really refreshing to hear your straight-up opinion on things. Hey, man, that's the way I break it down, straight up. That said, my question is this. How can a no-bullshit guy stay afloat in the bullshit-filled waters of Hollywood? Movie deal, screen time, agents, producers demanding this and that. Can't be easy, right? Man, I tell you what, when I first came out here to Los Angeles, you would go to a meeting and meet someone, and they would be like, oh, yeah, man, it's great to meet you. I can't believe we've never done anything before, and here's two or three scripts. Take these home, and we'll get back in touch with you. Shit. I'd walk out of that damn meeting with a couple of scripts thinking, man, I just got myself a movie. No, man, you didn't get shit. They was giving you the same runaround they give every other rookie that comes into this town. I've been in Los Angeles almost going on 10 years. I can smell bullshit a mile away. And it's bullshit in the Hollywood business is about the same as the bullshit in the wrestling business. There's just more of it out here. So, man, it is what it is. I worked my way into the system. And my theory is this, if you can just come out to L.A. and find a little bit of work and hang on long enough, you can make it. And back in the day, I had to put up with a little bit of bullshit because you got to pay your dues and earn your stripes and all that other stuff that everybody else has already done. But these days, with the time that I have invested and everything that I've done, I really don't give a shit. I can smell bullshit a mile away and I won't put up with anything. You know, I treat people with respect. I respect their time. And I want them to respect my time and my value as well. So I take a no bullshit approach. It is what it is. And I've learned to improvise, overcome, and adapt as our great military does all the time. Shout out to the United States Armed Forces, greatest armed forces in the world. Hey, Taylor from Toronto says, hey, Steve, how do you get your protein and manage to keep muscle while being on the road? Thanks. Hey, Taylor, I'm not really on the road anymore, but back in the day when we were traveling, All the guys knew all the stops to go places to eat clean. Now, with as much stuff that was going on the road with drinking and everything like that, all of the guys are pretty much gym fanatics and go to the restaurants and eat clean food. And whether that's a Denny's, an IHOP, or a Waffle House, you can get grilled chicken breasts, you can get steamed hash browns, you can get rice and all that other stuff. So it was easy to find protein on the road. All you had to do was hit the restaurants and order clean. And a lot of the guys, including myself, carried protein powders with them. It's survival of the fittest out there, and you've got to take care of your body. Getting protein is damn sure important. We made sure we did. Here's one from Jordan. She says, how do you pick yourself up on one of those days where it seems like everything is going wrong? You know what, Jordan? I have one of those days every now and then. Sometimes you can get a couple of them strung together. And, hey, man, there's always something to look forward to. You just can't stay down in the doldrums. Life is too short to stay down. And we're all going to have our highs and lows, and we're all going to have problems that happen here and there and things that we don't like. But you always got to pick your head up, move forward, and leave everything else behind. Stay positive, even in moments when things aren't so positive around you. Here's one from Rich over there in Kentucky. Steve, any advice you could give this generation of young Americans growing up in this tough economy? You're one of the only people I will take advice from. So any tips on how to keep our heads above water? I tell you what, Rich, it's tough times out there right now. The economy, everybody says it's coming around. Maybe not so much. I don't know what to say. I don't really have an answer to fix or help the economy. I can just tell you, man, save your money, work your ass off, try to find a second or third job, man. There's people out there doing that, kicking and scratching, trying to make it. Times are tough right now. So all I can say is keep your head up above water, save your money, don't spend your money on stupid shit, prioritize, make you a budget. Stay square. Here's an interesting email right here. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Finally, a relationship question. This is from Jimmy Jack, and I've changed the name to protect the innocent. Here it goes. Hi, Steve. I've gotten back with my ex, but I don't know if I've done it just because I was lonely on my own or because I couldn't be without her. On my own, I missed her terribly, but now we're back together. I miss my single lifestyle and being my own boss. Help. P.S. If you respond, please don't use my full name. Jimmy Jack, I tell you what, dude, you didn't wait long enough. You got insecure and you jumped back in that relationship too fast, it sounds like to me. I think you should have waited it out a little bit more. And now that you're back together, I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you really need to sit down at a table, the both of you, and have a very honest and open session of communication. Or you put all your cards on the table, you tell her how you feel, she puts her cards on the table, and you come up with something, you decide to split apart and go your own ways. Or you go to counseling and get the help of a professional. You're talking to me, and I'm sitting in front of a microphone in Los Angeles, California. I've been down the road a few times in this situation before. Maybe you need help, dude. Maybe I'll need some counseling. But it sounds like you jumped back together too soon, buddy. All right, you're somewhat of a lover in there at 28 years of age. You got any advice for Jimmy Jack?
I think what you said was actually pretty dead on. I don't have much more I would add. You got to talk, and you got to be open, and you got to communicate.
It's open communication. That's what I've said about my wife that makes our relationship so good. My wife is a special education teacher of 20 years teaching, and, man, sometimes I'm not the greatest communicator in the world, and we don't sweep anything under the carpet like I used to would try to do because I'm a guy. Guys are dumb. I don't do that anymore. So sit down, Jimmy Jack, have a conversation with your gal. I'm sure she's a great person, and so are you. Hammer this out. And the important thing is for both of you to come out of this happy and move on down the road.
I think one of the things that you did touch on that's important is the counseling and bringing in a neutral party that can assess the situation from an outsider's perspective where there is not like emotion involved that they're getting caught up in as well, you know?
You know, and I dig that because, you know, I went to counseling a couple times. Sometimes they can stir the damn pot as much as anything, but they bring some of the issues that you're not able to confront on your own into the conversation. So, yeah, another good piece of advice. Here's one. Steve, thank you for your candid and frank conversations about drug and alcohol abuse. I am undertaking my own fight with drinking. Conversations and guests on your show are my main motivation. I am not an alcoholic, but when I turned 30 and realized I was still drinking as much as I was at 21, I decided I should drink less. I am a truck driver. My drinking has never affected my work. I obviously would never drink and drive a truck and could be on the road for days and even weeks without ever touching the stuff or even thinking about it or wanting any. I'm just drinking while I'm at home, having fun and relaxing. As I cut back on drinking recently, I realized that while at home, it is almost impossible for me to relax and have fun without drinking. I have decided that at least temporarily, I'm going to completely stop, not just slow down. To help pacify my want, I'm going to stock my cooler with a non-alcoholic near beer and take an idea from you and buy me some of that fancy bubbling water. Pellegrino sparkling water, or you can go into discount water. Sparkling water. It feels like beer, but it's water. I drink a lot of beer and very little liquor, so hopefully it will be an easy gap to bridge. On my motivation, Shawn Michaels is one of the biggest. I heard him say in an interview once that because the shit wasn't affecting his work or life, he didn't feel he had a problem. I felt that way for a long time as well, and I'm trying to use that as motivation. I also never realized Paul Levesque was always clean until it came up on your show. Today I listened to the podcast with the King and learned he has always been squeaky clean. Well, damn it, if they can be, so can I. Trucker Tom. You know what? It takes a lot of guts for a guy to write something like that in. You know, some guys are dumb, some guys are too proud, some guys are stubborn. Tom, I wish you all the luck in the world. I'm glad you could find some motivation in some of the stories you hear here on the show and through Shawn Michaels. I wish you all the best and good luck. Everything in moderation, I dig it the most. Thank you, Tom. Let's give big ups to Geico for supporting the podcast. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can be saving 15% or more on car insurance. That's right. Save hundreds of dollars on car insurance at geico.com. Extra money in your pocket? It may just be the most rewarding thing you do today. Then, after you're done saving money, treat yourself to some free TV. Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. Watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch free. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. And the best part, you can download Pluto TV for free on all your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, Smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream. What are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. Get more info at Pluto.tv. All right, I'm giving Sean a go-home cue, so let's wrap it up for this week. Make sure you check out podcast1.com and subscribe to the Steve Austin Show so you don't miss any of these classic episodes. Before I ride off in the sunset, I do want to throw out a couple of plugs. I still got a beer. It's the badass Broken Skull IPA, the finest IPA in the United States of America, and that's the bottom line. Made by El Segundo Brewing Company. You can find Broken Skull IPA at Whole Foods and Total Wines if you live in Cali. If you ain't in Cali, you're probably SOL. And if you're looking to get a badass pocket knife, I got two for you. Cold steel Broken Skull knife, cold steel working man knife. Get them at my Amazon store, amazon.com/shop/Steve Austin, or go to the Cold Steel Knives website and check out all their badass knives. Also, one more big shout out to all my sponsors to make this show possible. That's how I'm able to bring this show to you free twice a week. Please support them because they support us. For more info, check out the podcast description to this episode for details. Folks, I am on social media, Twitter and Instagram, at Steve Austin BSR. Folks, I'll be back soon, but until then, my name is Steve Austin, and I will catch your ass down the road.
Download new episodes of Steve Austin Unleashed every Thursday at podcast1.com. That's podcastone.com.